a crusher meeting where
I take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, across the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Alright everybody, welcome to Scaredy Cats. It's a pleasure to have everybody here. I am one of your co-hosts, Daniel Hummer.
Hello guys. I was going to go with Hootie Hoo, but I decided to do an owl today.
I'm here with my sister Mindy, and we're doing please await or just await further instructions now.
Yes, it used to be please await further instructions, but then they changed the title for some odd reason. I don't know why.
Exactly. Now, this movie's got a lot. There's a lot to unpack here. It's an indie British movie. It is directed. Our director is Johnny Kevorkian, who actually only did one other movie before this that disappeared, and he actually passed away a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's actually pretty sad.
So this is the last work we will ever see from him. Mm-hmm. And it stars relatively unknowns, except for a name that stands out is David Bradley, who we know from Harry Potter and Game of Thrones fame.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, and he's in the same type of role as a grouchy old man. And that's pretty much what he does well, is being a dicky old guy.
Yeah, being mean to everybody.
So there's a lot to get into here. Mindy, why'd you pick this movie?
I really like this film because it caused you to think about it the entire time. Like, the entire time I was sitting there wondering, what the hell is going on? But, you know, that's sometimes what makes the best sci-fi and the best horror movies sometimes, is the what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And I also really enjoyed this film because it kind of gave me an answer and then it kind of didn't.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing for me, is like we kind of were left with knowing what was going on, but we kind of still had a lot of questions.
Yeah. And get hit it for this part. But one of the things that intrigues me most about this movie, and this came out in 2018 before all the pandemic stuff, but now it's kind of, barring the ending, because the ending gets a little more in a traditional movie and a little more gaga and fucky shit. But before that, it's a pretty good commentary on the pandemic and everything and, you know, the government just telling you what to do and you blindly listening because you think that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, and they don't even know if it's really the government either. It's just the broadcast.
Exactly. And even downright to the vaccinations and stuff. It's like there's a lot of like smoke and mirrors here that someone could look back, even though it was made without those intentions. You can look back at that now.
Especially with
shit.
The needles not being sterilized and them coming in just a baggie, them already being used.
Exactly.
Like, that was sick.
It was very sick. I did like the family dynamic, I thought was pretty, it was believable enough. I know some critics have shit on it. I actually thought it was
good and really good part of the movie because everyone hates Nick.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of necessary for the beginning. Otherwise, in the middle, we'd be like, why did they hate him?
Exactly.
So I get it now a little bit.
Yeah. But Tony the dad, he is surprisingly, you know, he is that like American, well, he's not American, he's British, but he's like that, a classic dad that it's like, we're going to do what we have to do. We're going to follow the government. This is like the yes man sheep, you know, like a lot of people are like that. And a lot of people, and that's what they say has kind of gone wrong with civilization. They're a bit of a dysfunctional family, but a bit not as well, where they kind of like there's a mean grandfather,
mm-hmm.
the sweet mom, you know.
Everyone has a stereotype, the bitchy sister.
The bitchy sister and the meathead boyfriend, you know. And the bitchy sister's pregnant, by the way, which is an important part.
With either a boy or a girl, they're not sure.
We find out it's a girl at the end, but
Ruby.
But all these, and Nick and Angie are probably the most, you know,
down to earth,
relatable. You know, you like them the most,
except for Mom. We like Mom.
Yeah, Mom's cool, but
Mom's
she's
sweet.
She's also like, why are you there? She's one of those characters that's like, why are you in this movie? Why'd you marry this asshole? Well, why are you? What the fuck are you doing? So, Angie, I thought, was a really good, you know, in the girlfriend role and stuff, because she is Indian or whatever. I don't know, you know, her specific nationality, but she's not white like the rest of them. And
yeah.
The family's very racist.
Mm-hmm.
And the family is very, you know, not tolerable. So they're...
Well, she has to be some sort of Indian, though, because you got to remember in the beginning, she brought Indian treats for everybody.
Exactly.
So she has to be some kind of Indian.
Yeah. But she's a cool character. She's a good, you know... good safety net for Nick, where these are the only two people in the movie, you know, that aren't terrible.
She's a good representation of a support team.
Yeah. And we've seen this before, where you kind of bring in a good, wholesome girl into a fucked up family, and you watch the terror ensue. So it turns out to be good content, and it was a good movie. It wasn't my favorite. I'm not going to lie to you, Mindy. I thought there was a lot of flaws in this movie. It felt very low budget.
It was very low budget.
Well, they had candles there in the middle and they at Christmas dinner and didn't light them once.
I know. That was really stupid. Like, there is some stupidness with the cinematography and everything, I will have to say. I'm not going to say, like, oh, it was a perfect movie, because it wasn't. But also, you got to remember, it's an indie film.
Yeah.
And indie films, they don't really have that much of a budget.
No.
And they don't really have that much time to get things done. Because a lot of the time, like, it's film students doing the work. So even if you have a good director in there, it's mostly film students and acting students that are in those. So it's very, very difficult to have a perfect indie movie. It's just not going to happen.
And this is an hour and a half, short and sweet type of film, too, to where it knows what it wants to do. It's not like, what was that fucking thing Foxtrap. Foxtrap, it felt like it was going, and I did not dislike that movie. I didn't give it a
No, but it did look like it was going down four different paths.
Yeah, there's so many different directions, and it seemed like in the middle of the script, they're like, we should do this. This didn't feel like that. It felt like they knew what they wanted the whole time. The ending is a little stupid to me. I think it takes away from the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I think Nick and Angie should have survived, not the TV and the little baby.
Yeah, like the wires and the TV, and that's controlling everybody. Like that. And I think that's what would take people out of it today, because they would watch that and be like, ooh, this is a good commentary on the pandemic and everything. But then they see, oh, it's just a sci-fi machine thing. Like, fuck that about.
It just turns out being the TV.
Yeah.
And, like, the weird thing of it is, though, is that Nick actually gets Scott on his side for a little bit. Because Scott, when his wife, Kate, breaks her leg, Scott's downstairs in shock, and he looks over at the TV, and it says, I see you.
Yeah.
And then it blinks, and then it goes back to the original message. But he sees that, and he tells Nick, like, the TV's watching us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were already pretty aware of it, him and Angie were, but everybody else was in denial.
Well, Nick, it took getting a couple chompers pulled off him for the message to settle in. Because when he grabbed it, that motherfucker,
that was not Nick. That was...
Not Nick, Scott. It was Scott.
Scott.
But that, yeah, that's what I was trying
to say. He lost four fingers.
Yeah, but Scott got the message.
Yeah. Yeah, he decided to mess around with the access hole that they had for them for the vaccines. And they were supposed to slip the vaccines back in the hole, which he did. But then he got a little zealous and thought that people cared. And he started yelling through the hole, and it was said that the squat was being contaminated. So it took off half his hand.
Yep. And I do think it would have made more to the movie if it was like a government scheme or if it was something else.
The thing, though, Daniel, you don't know.
Yeah.
Because throughout the movie, in the beginning, Gramps has the TV on, and it's a newscast. And they're saying that there's all these different destructions and stuff going on.
Yeah.
Around Britain and around London and stuff. So, I mean, the TV going off is what sets the plan in motion. But if you watch it from the very beginning and you pay very much attention to the TV in the background, you can see that there's already stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And then, like, all the cell signals are blocked. Angie goes outside to call her mom, and her cell phone signal's blocked, and she can't call her.
Yeah.
Also, the home phone's not working.
Yeah, nothing's working.
So that's just weird, because they were all like, oh, well, let's just go to bed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was just odd to me.
Yeah. I mean, and the fact that, I mean, Tony obviously is what he is, and it says more about the character, but the fact that he was so willing to just follow this TV was pretty stupid.
But that was also because of his father. His father was very, very tough on him. And when the newscast first happened, he brought his son very close to him, and he said, you're going to have to take charge.
Yeah.
If you want to be the man of the house, now is the time.
Yeah.
But you got to listen. And he took that as not listen to my father, but listen to electronics. Little weird. But, I mean, unfortunately, he was seen as a failure in his father's eyes.
Well, his father was a cock.
Well, his father was a cop, but his father also was a warman. He had fought in a lot of wars, and he was a military man, so he was very different from Nick's father.
He doesn't even have a name, though.
I know, we just call him Graham.
He's credited in this movie as Granddad.
Well, because that's what they call him, as Granddad. They don't give him a name. He's gone within the first 20 minutes.
Well, he should have took the vaccine.
He did.
The vaccine, I said he shouldn't have. Oh. The vaccine fucked his day up.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think it might have had to do with him being too old.
Yeah, they never explained that. I don't know if they put one fucked up one in to who knows. But.
I really couldn't tell you guys. I really don't know. At first, I thought it was maybe from the way he, like, did it. Like, maybe he put it in the wrong spot. But he seemed to put it in the same spot that everyone else did.
Yeah. And I'm not a doctor. Right? I've never been to med school. I work in the medical industry, but I've never, you know, done an operation or been there for one. However, I do know that just boiling a needle in hot water will not make it sterile. You need some sort of denatured alcohol or some. I get that Angie is a nurse, but boiling those needles isn't enough.
Yeah, but I think that's all she could get them to do.
Yeah.
Because they were going to just do it without sterilizing. Shit, the father did it. Without sterilizing them.
Boiling does help sterilize.
So
it helps, but it doesn't
It helps,
do
but
it.
They were already used.
Yeah.
Like Angie saw that they had already been used by another set of family.
But if you really want to sterilize them, you slap some alcohol or something.
Yeah, I mean, they had enough whiskey and stuff. They had Scott drinking it when he freaking lost his fingers.
Exactly.
And then they tried to give his pregnant wife. And this woman is, like, pregnant. Like, she's about to burst.
Yeah.
They try to give her whiskey and pain pills when she breaks her leg. You don't give a pregnant woman whiskey and pain pills? What is wrong with you? I mean, Angie wasn't down there for that part. She was upstairs. She was being locked away from everybody.
Yeah.
But Scott, he was supposed to have medical training. And he was the baby's dad. And he was like, oh, here, have some whiskey. Like, what is wrong with you? I mean, eventually she doesn't take any whiskey. She doesn't take any pills. She gets her own way and she passes out.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens to us females when we're in so much pain. That, and if we can't take medication, we'll pass out.
Well, any human body, but yeah.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. And she actually takes place in one of the most interesting instances of childbirth I've ever seen. Where the TV and the wires and stuff actually takes the skin off her body and Ruby is introduced into the world.
Yeah, that was weird. That was like the technology delivered the kid.
Yeah.
Not said, really sure.
And then it said, Ruby, worship me. So, like, it sucks because we're not going
to
get
a welcome
sequel.
To Earth, Ruby.
Yeah.
Worship me. And
yeah.
It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What is going on? And then, like, now the director's dead, so you know there ain't going to be a decent sequel, even if they do come out with a sequel. It's not going to be decent.
Yeah.
It's going to be some half-cocked version of the first one.
Very half-cocked. So.
So, I mean, sorry, guys, I didn't mean to say cock. But, I mean, it's just the way that it is. I mean,
we're left with a lot of loose ends here, for sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, I did enjoy a lot of what we saw, and I think there is a couple directions that you could go after if you wanted to get a sequel after it. I think, like, because even though this isn't my favorite movie, I wasn't necessarily scared at all, but there were a couple instances and a couple scenes where I was like, we could build on this and do something else. And there's like,
a couple moments where you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't really a scare. It was more of a, like, I can't believe they did that.
But I'm also a big fan of psychological horror too. Yeah. And I like to see the mind break down. And I know that's what they were trying to do with this family, but it just wasn't believable enough. Yeah. And maybe it was the low budget. Maybe it was the green actors. I don't know. But a lot of it was just hard for me to sink my teeth into.
Yeah.
I did enjoy Nick and Angie in the lead roles a lot. And I thought they played those fish out of water scenes very well.
For my Doctor Who fans, I will have to tell you, for me, it was more like a horror or Halloween episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So if you're a really big Doctor Who fan and you're a fan of horror, you'll really like this movie.
Well, yeah.
But there is no doctor in it. Let's just put that out there. There is no good guy.
And I've never seen Black Mirror, but a couple critics I saw said that this could just be an episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah, I've never saw that either, but I did see that comment.
Yeah. But I did enjoy what I saw.
Yeah.
For most of it. I liked the TV aspect. The vaccination stuff was cool. It's just a lot of those things I wish they would have got into a little more.
And they didn't.
But they were cool concepts. And I think this movie is kind of a case when you throw some cool concepts. You get like a sort of okay finished product, but not everything was realized.
But I also think a lot of that has to do with their time restriction. So
yeah.
I think that they had to like pick and choose what they decided to put in there.
Yeah.
And what they decided not to, and what they decided to film, what they decided not to film, because there's a lot that goes behind that process.
And I'm sure if this was made post-pandemic, it'd be a completely different movie.
Oh, yeah. It probably would have been a huger sensation.
Yeah. So, because that's the one takeaway I got from it, from the whole quarantine and the staying inside and the whole, like, hysteria and being scared and what do we do?
Listening to your government and only your government.
Yeah, because you don't know what else to do. We're trained to be safe like that. You know, we're trained that they're always going to keep us safe. So those themes I thought were really heavy, and I think that's what really drove the point home for the movie for me.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that's what took a little away from the ending when it's like, oh, there's a robot TV. But it was still, like, cool shit. There's a lot that I would recommend this movie for the watch. You might not think it's the best movie of all time. I don't think it's the best movie of all time.
No.
But I think it is a great watch, and it's something that you should check out if you're a horror fan and if you're a fan of kind of like crazy type what's going to happen movies.
And if you're like us and you're more of a horror fan, like towards slashers and stuff like that, you may really like this movie. You might see it as refreshing. I know I did.
Yeah.
And I'm not usually the sci-fi type of person. My fiance is always trying to get me to watch it, but I could go as sci-fi as I go with Sharknado, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I don't go that far.
Yeah.
So this one was definitely a lot more sci-fi. When I even pointed it out, Daniel was like, wait, it's a sci-fi movie. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm good with it. So it even surprised him that I enjoyed it. But it caused you to think.
Yeah.
And I love horror movies that cause you to think.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they're the best ones. They're the ones that you think about and you go home and you think about it again. And you have a dream about it that night and then you think about it the next day. Those are the ones that hit home.
Absolutely. No, I would 100% agree. Now, we can't really go into kills, so let's do a standout scene. And to me, the most standout scene for me, as polarizing as it is, as much as I've kind of shit on it this whole episode already, to me, this scene stands out because with the whole thing with the dad and the TV going fucking nuts and they find it out it's just a bunch of wires, and then it attaches to him and he becomes like this
parasite.
Yeah, he becomes like this monster. And I thought, that's to me, it wasn't a sci-fi movie until that shit happened.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, now it's sci-fi. But I really... I'm not going to say I enjoyed it, but I did think it was interesting and almost kind of
cool.
It was
cool how it
yeah.
controlled him.
Yeah.
And how it took over him.
Yeah. And that, and I think that was supposed to be what the theme of the movie is, you know, it's taking control, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say my favorite scene, as heartbreaking as it was, because I love the mom, was her death scene. I really, really liked it. There was a lot of suspense because the rooms were getting poisoned. Remember?
Yes.
And you had Angie in one room, and then you had the mom in the bathroom. And nobody knew the mom was up there. She didn't tell anybody. So Nick is trying his best to get Angie out of the bedroom. Well, Nick doesn't know this, but right down the hall, his mother is screaming to him, even though everyone else is screaming so no one can hear her, because she's trapped in the bathroom and can't get out.
Yeah.
And he finally gets Angie out, and they finally realize that the mom's in the bathroom, but that the time they get there, it's just too late.
Yeah.
And he starts breaking up, open the bathroom door, the window of it, and she tells him, like, Nick, stop. You have to stop. You can't let me out. And then her brain just explodes. And it's like, oh, okay. We're doing this.
Yeah.
That was rough. I didn't see mom going out that way. I saw mom being the survivor, but okay.
I saw her dying, but that was rough.
Yeah, I didn't see her going out like that.
No, not like that.
That was just a kick to the nuts.
How many unsterilized needles would you give this out of 10?
I knew you were going to do this. I knew it was either going to be that or RCTV. I don't know. I would definitely put this in the middle. I would definitely give it a 5 out of 10. Definitely a good watch for the first time. Not something that you'd want to watch over and over and over again. I mean, I'm also not you, so I don't know. You could be the viewer that wants to watch it over and over again. It could take you like that. You never know.
Yeah.
But as far as we're concerned, we wouldn't sit and watch it over and over and over again.
No.
But was it a good film? It was decent.
Yeah.
So I would give it a 5.
I'd probably agree and go 5 because I think it really just tips the line of mediocrity. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
No. But go ahead.
There's just a lot of themes here that I think we've seen in other shit. But mm-hmm. And I think some things they do better than other shit and some things they do worse. But I think that for a movie that's put together and it's an indie British movie, it's definitely worth the checkout. And I think it's a good film and the characters are written well enough. They might be just kind of archetypes, which kind of goes to the mediocre.
But guys, you also got to think too, if they would have dwelled more on the backstory and they would have gotten more of a character profile, then it would have been too long.
Yeah.
Then we're hitting like 2 hours.
Exactly.
So I think the director, the producer, I think they did a really good job of doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have liked to see a little bit more of the characters, but I understand why they didn't, because they wanted it just to be, hello, how are you? Bye. And they didn't want people to be sitting there wondering, like, what the hell? When is this over?
Absolutely.
So, and it didn't do that for me. It was just short and sweet enough.
Absolutely. Now, with all that being said, let's get into the plugs because I forgot to do it at the beginning. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Saturday. Wednesday for their wrestling show and Saturday for their Hollywood Hangout movie review. They're great guys.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure to check out our buddy Sean on YouTube.
Go watch Sean Fail.
Fail at Video Games and Elite Diplodoc on YouTube and Sneaky Fetty on Twitch. Make sure to check us out at 6:30 p.m. on Fridays for the Unscripted Wrestling Program, the hottest wrestling program in the whole world. Make sure to check out our second show, Unscripted Unlimited. We've been doing a lot of good things. We did our Big Brother tier list. We did the evolution of cartoons yesterday. So we're getting a lot of different cool stuff. And make sure to check us out here at 3 p.m. for Scaredy Cat.
Woo!
Live and Unwind. Now I'm going to reveal what we're doing next week because we got a special one-hour episode.
I don't know, guys.
And because we've had a couple different ideas for what we're going to do in the future with this show. One of those things, and we will be doing it. It's kind of going to be half this and half the idea for the show. But next week is you're going to put a bunch of names of movies we haven't covered in a hat, and we're going to pick them. And that's what we're going to do for the upcoming weeks. We're going to do the first 5 picks next week live.
All right. Interesting. So go check out this as well. And we'll also be doing a live Facebook show. We'll put that on there.
So that's half of the show. But we're also going to be doing a top 10 minds in the horror genre. Now, this is very broad. So it can be directors, writers, just a really good actor, method actor that gets it, like maybe Robert Englund or, you know, the girl that plays Sydney.
Nev Campbell.
I'm sorry, I'm an asshole. But, or it can be a writer like Kevin Williamson. It could be, you know, a classic.
A director like Wes Craven.
Exactly. It just minds of the horror business or minds of the horror genre. Alfred Hitchcock. Anybody is, you know, open for debate.
Edgar Allan Poe, even if you want to go that far.
Yeah,
back.
Yeah. There's so many minds and different voices and visions in the horror genre, and I can't wait to rank them.
Absolutely. And if you guys want to go ahead and shoot us out on our TikTok and our Facebook, Scaredy Cats Podcast, go ahead and hit us up there. We're also going to be doing a YouTube Scaredy Cats Podcast as well.
Yeah.
Also hit us up on the Unlimited pages. We're up there for Spotify. We're up there for iHeartRadio, all that good stuff, and we will talk to you guys later.
Absolutely. Everyone, enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you next week for Scaredy Cats.